Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am so happy to have your listening ear. Of all the things that you could be doing, you are listening to my podcast, and I appreciate you for it. If you are an OG, welcome back. Thank you for holding it down and continuing to move through this with me. And if you are new, I appreciate you. Hey, and I definitely invite you to go back and listen to some past episodes because they are some good gems, honey. They are some good gems. So today I have a guest. Her name is Jessica. And we really talk about some good shit. Like we go into self-sabotage and hold on. Before we go there, let me back it up. Before I introduce her to you and get into the episode, I do want to remind you that there is a twin sister to this podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, XXX, which is all things kinky, explicit, a little bit dirty, just how you like it. So this is a private Patreon podcast, which you get episodes Monday through Friday, short pleasure tips to get you thinking, to answer any questions. And also you get a monthly video from the treasure chest, which is some type of toy review or lube, or it's that type of thing, right? Adult material. And then you get a pleasure position of the month. So it's possible that you don't even know what's out there that you could be doing, and you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So I'm here to introduce you to the world of positions. So if that is your jam and you want to be in a safe, intimate community where you can ask questions, explore, be curious, but also not worry about guilt, shame, or being judged, definitely join us over there. I want to introduce you to Jessica Johnson. So she brings 17 years of service industry expertise to the table, fueled by a genuine passion for empowering women. Her mission is to introduce fresh perspectives that empower women to challenge and dismantle outdated beliefs. In 2020, she made the bold move from nearly a decade in corporate, I understand that, honey, managing a nine-figure sales team to align her work with her values and authentic self-expression. This conversation about self-sabotage, as we are in the last weeks of the new year, and we're looking back at some of the things that we didn't do, looking at our vision boards and all of these goals that we set for ourselves for 2023. And some of them we didn't meet because we were in our own way. So this conversation I felt was really good to get a handle on. It's okay that things didn't go the way that we wanted them to, but also how can we do better going into the next year if it genuinely is us that is in the way? So I hope you enjoy this conversation, and I will talk to you after. Okay, well, Jessica, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I want to jump into this because we're coming up on the end of the year. So we're dropping this in December. So it's kind of like reflecting on the past year, but going into the new year. And when you said that you talk about self-sabotage, I was like, okay, this would be a nice way to like end the year. A lot of us have these grand ideas and these grand goals of what we want to do. And specifically when it comes to pleasure, because, you know, my focus is Black women and pleasure. We have all of these goals, right? Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do yoga 5 times a day, and I'm going to go to the spa, and I want to make this amount of money. And then we get to this time of year, and we look back and we haven't done the things that we said we were going to do. And a lot of it is because we just don't allow ourselves, you know, especially when it comes business stuff, work stuff, making sure everyone is good, we excel. But when it comes to focusing on ourselves and making time for things that are just for us, we find ways out of it. So, what do you think about Black women self-sabotaging their own care, even though they try to make it a priority?
Through that lens, I think the issue is that we as Black women don't view ourselves as a thing worth having. We don't realize how telling our behavior is. The relationship we have with ourselves is a lifelong relationship. Before there was husband, before there was kids, before there was boss, before there was whoever we love and consider a part of our community, circle, tribe, whatever you want to call it, there's us. And what you value, you properly care for. And I think because we're so accustomed to living the way that we live, that is our normal. So when we're confronted with these things, we take offense because somebody has pointed out a flaw that we didn't even know we have. But again, it's evident in our behavior. And it's not that we don't want to show up for ourselves. It's that usually, in some way, proper soul care was not modeled to us. We're taught that self-care is a spa day. And while, yes, it can include that, that's not where it ends. It ends with you really nurturing the relationship you have with yourself, taking the time to make sure your entire being is nurtured and nourished and loved and cared for.
Can you explain what self-sabotage is? Because I think we may not recognize that we're doing it. We think that we're doing something good when we really are kind of like stunting ourselves.
Self-betrayal, as I see it, and self-sabotage, it's really the active living out of societal and inherited beliefs. You got this pattern of behavior from somewhere, and it's so ingrained in you that you really do think it's just who you are. And it's not. It's who you were taught and told to be, but because nobody took you by your hand and sat you down and told you explicitly, do this, we don't see it that way. But how often, if we look back as Black women, no matter how great our moms were, if they were, or in between, wherever they fell on the spectrum, what did self-care look like in your home? How did your mother care for herself? Was it hair? Was it nails? Was it, I worked hard, I deserve this new bag, these new shoes? What did your mom do to really fill her cup? What did she do that was just for her? I stopped into Sephora the other day for the first time in a long time. And I went in there for one specific thing, and I smelled a perfume that I loved. I decided I wanted to purchase it. I was rushing, so I was like, I'll order it for pickup. Every order I placed for this thing was canceled for one reason or another, suspected fraud. I actually sent my husband out earlier today to pick me up a bottle because I found it close to the house. And I told him, I said, I know it's a bottle of perfume, but I really want this. And I really want it now because it is just for me. This doesn't benefit anybody but me. It's mine. And I've been looking for a new fragrance that captures who I am now. And this is it. So he went and he got it for me. Yeah. It's like other people will enjoy the smell, but who else is my perfume going to benefit? No one. It was just something that I wanted to enjoy. And I had no shame in admitting that. I'm getting to a point where I can do things like that. So, yes. Now that I can do that again, I absolutely did it. And it's like, oh well.
How much do you think self-sabotage has to do with fear? Because I know you were saying habit, right? Like we were told who we were supposed to be, or we saw certain things and we're like, oh, okay, well, this is the way I'm going to go. How much of it do you think is fear-based?
I think a lot of it is fear-based. Who are we if we're not who people think we are? Who are we if we're not who we think we are?
Who
And I
are we
know
if
that's
we
interesting,
think we are? Yeah,
but
I'm letting that register. Who
when
are
you
we if we're
get to
not who
the
we
point
think
in
we are?
life where what you actually want starts butting heads with what it was you thought you wanted, who are you if you're not who you thought you were? If your interest takes you in a different direction, if who you love takes you in a different direction, if how you craft your life takes you in a different direction. And I think we're afraid that going against what our normal is has become what we thought it should be, is definitely something that elicits fear in us.
Yeah. And I tell my clients that all the time too. Like there'll be a point where there's like this space where you're looking at who you used to be and you don't fit in that box anymore. And you're not quite who you want to be because you have no clue who that is. Like you have to figure that out as you go. Because there is no one teaching you that. Like you have to teach yourself that. So this middle place is really uncomfortable. It can be very lonely and it's a loss of identity. And so when we talk about self-sabotage, I think that that starts coming in because what else are we gonna do? Like this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to be in this random space where, and from my what I have noticed, it's women around their late 30s, 40s is when they start like pulling down these masks. You mean tell me I've spent all these decades being this one person, checking all of these boxes, doing all the things I was supposed to do. And now you want me to go be something else. And not only do you want me to be something else, but a lot of this something else that I'm gonna go be is me not being for someone else, solely being for myself. How am I supposed to do that? Because I ain't never seen nobody like tend to themselves the way I want to tend to myself.
I think where we start making headway there is providing the language to explain the experience.
Ooh.
Making it okay to say, you know what, I have no frame of reference for the experience because I have never had it before. So I now need to learn how to occupy this space and add some new tools to my box so I develop the language that most accurately conveys what it is I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing here. Because you're right. For me, it happened at 35. I felt like, I call it a midlife evaluation because it wasn't a crisis. I felt like I was on a precipice and I could see everything that was behind me. And it was like, yeah, okay, cool. I did that. And I could see blank space in front of me. And for the first time in my life or in my adult life, I felt like I could really craft my journey. And I was like, you know what? I need to live in a way that is more authentically aligned with my values and the way I desire to show up in the world and the things that I want to contribute to it. Began to make steps to make that happen. And I had to have plenty of conversations where I said exactly that. Like, I have no frame of reference for this. I'm doing a new thing. I can't tell you how this is going to go. So if you want to cut out, that's fine. But if you want to rock with me, please know I'm doing the best that I can. I'm not making it up as I go along, but I'm learning as I go. So when I go, you'll know.
But in real life, though, Jessica, in real life, when we are talking to high achieving Black women and you say, hey, we ain't got no framework for you, we ain't got no list for you. We don't have no direction for you, but we know you can do it. Like the anxiety, the anxiety when you tell someone, I even think about myself when I started my journey. Like I think my stress lasted probably all of 2022 or maybe the last half of 22 when I was like, yo, like someone give me a playbook, someone give me a manual. Like that's when it was like, let me find this coach or let me find this or let me find that. And it was just like, it didn't fit, but I'm so used to just Give me the step by step. I can follow the step by step and I can get an A. But there is no step by step for this journey of ease, of simplicity, of pleasure for a Black woman, because that's not for us. That's not anything that has ever been in the history of a Black woman that's not allowed. So what do you say to someone listening to this whose anxiety just spiked because you said there is no framework for, like, there's no frame of reference for this?
I would say in times like that, community takes the place of framework.
Ooh.
There's healing in community. And I myself definitely wish that there were coaches that really spoke more to the process of transition. But how do you articulate a feeling? It reminds me of the movie Memoirs of a Geisha, where the main character. His parents passed away, and somebody took her to a temple. And there's a poem by the name of Lost that's carved into the stone. Only the words were etched out, so you could only feel it.
That just caused me
It's the same.
frustration.
It's the same thing here, though. Some things you just have to go through, and like I said, you develop the tools, and from the experience, you birth the framework. Even if it is individualized, you can say, these are my experiences in this space. This is what I took away from it. Because I think with every process, there are foundational pillars. You know, there's
Right.
basic housekeeping rules to almost everything. So I think that's how you get to the framework. Part of it is that you first go through it. And again, community takes the place of framework when you have people that are on the journey with you that are going through the same things that you are, that you can speak to freely, that you can, like you said, take off those masks and be open and honest and, hey, this is where I am. This is what my transition looks like. It's ugly, it's messy, and here, what do I do with this? And then somebody else who's maybe a little farther on the journey can say, hey, you know what? I remember being there at this
Right.
part. And these are some of the things that I did that I found helpful. This is what I gleaned from this part of this journey. And now you have resources. Now you have something you can latch onto. Now you have something that you can do. But I think we need to get more accustomed with being.
Yes.
We
Yes.
need to get more accustomed to being, because being is really where the magic happens. There's something innate in us, in terms of gifts, abilities, whatever you want to call us. And everything really flows from that place. When you really think about how you show up best, it's doing what you do. And we find it so hard to articulate. And I think the reason we find it hard to articulate is because us being produces tangible results, which cause the world to view it as doing. When we
Yes.
didn't do anything, we just showed up and gave you us. We pour it out.
Ooh, I like that. We pour it out and ain't nobody pouring back in. So what does actual self-sabotage look like? Like, how would you know? Oh, that's what I'm doing. If you didn't have, like, say, like a therapist or a coach or something saying, hey, that's considered self-sabotage. How would you know just as a person on a day-to-day basis?
It looks like high functioning anxiety. It looks like being more accessible than what you need to be. Sadly, I know many people, myself included, who once upon a time were accessible around the clock. You email me 10, 11 o'clock, sure, I'll get back to you. Now, no. You can, but I hit you back during business hours. It looks like new health conditions that you didn't always have. It looks like your blessings becoming burdens. It looks like strained relationships. It looks like the inability to properly communicate. It looks like frustration and anger for which there seems to be no real source. And the source is your lack of fulfillment. But we never think it's that. We always think it's external and it's internal. One of the things that I've really taken to saying recently is Self-betrayal, self-sabotage, it's lies. Don't lies destroy relationships?
Yes, they
So
do.
if lie will destroy every other relationship, why won't it destroy the lie, the relationship you have with yourself? We don't
Well,
trust inconsistent people. So when we're inconsistent with ourselves, when we're lying to ourselves, how are you supposed to grow in a relationship with this dishonesty?
but what if they don't know they're lying to themselves?
If they don't know that they're lying to themselves, I would definitely advise a real honest moment of reflection. Are there any mountains that you are continually circling? What are the recurring themes in your life where you and you alone are the common denominator? At some point, if you're meeting, we'll call it the same demon with a different face, it's advisable to stop and consider why. Because wherever you are, there, you know, wherever you go, there you are. So again, at some point, you have to stop and realize maybe it's me. And you can begin that conversation of, okay, this is going on here. How am I showing up here? How am I not showing up here? How do I interact in these spaces? What do I do when this happens? What do I do when that happens? And I think those quiet moments of introspecting, when we're really taking stock of our environment, and like I said, what are the recurring themes in your life? And how do you factor into them? You know, you can't just tell somebody, like you said, hey, you're betraying yourself. You got to give them something to latch onto that they can identify with. And I think those things are definitely a start. Like I said, the high functioning anxiety, the burnout, the strained relationships. You know, if the feedback you're getting is pretty consistent throughout your relationships, whether they be familiar, romantic, platonic, you need to start listening because nobody started a club just to talk about you.
And that's what I have noticed for me, because I really, the end of last year, I had to like stop everything. I had to like fall back so that it could get quiet because it was just too much noise. I couldn't hear myself. I couldn't hear what I wanted. I found myself getting stressed and anxious about things that I thought was, and it just wasn't working for me the way it was working for everybody else. So I had to be quiet. Like I stopped hanging out with my friends. I let them know. I was like, look, I'll holler at y'all in February. And this was in November. I was like, I'll holler at y'all in February. Like when you check in, I'll answer, but I'm not coming out. Like I cannot, I'm not gonna be the best company right now. I stopped taking in so much self-help information. I stopped listening to like self-help podcasts. And I was like, okay, Tasha, what do you absolutely need to survive? I need to make sure I eat. I know I gotta work. I gotta take care of my family. That's it. Like that's all I have to do. So then as I did that, it was like, well, what do you want to do? And that's where like the pleasure part, and you know, you saying in the very beginning, well, what do you want? When it's quiet, you can hear what you want because there's no interference. So it's like, well, I like reading. I don't want to read business books and how can what's the professional and personal development? I like scary books. I like erotica. Like those are the types of things I want to read. So I went back to reading books that I enjoy. I went back to reading scary stories. I like yoga. I like sitting outside in the sun. So I just spent months doing the things that I enjoy. And then when I was ready to come back out, I could hear me in the midst of everyone else. And so for me, I live my life based off of what feels good. And that, you know, when you start digging into your human design and all of that, you figure out where you're supposed to focus. But now I'm in another season where it's like, okay, Natasha, you need to get back to studying yourself. Because I can see where I did self-sabotage because I was able to get quiet and I know what I want and I know what things feel like. I have clarity. So now I'm intentional. Like I can see what I'm doing. Like, girl, you fucked that up. It's like you fucked that up
That
because you were scared and you knew you could have did better and you was watching what somebody else was doing and you should have just stayed in your lane. But in order for me to know without a shadow of a doubt that that was me, I had to cut out everything and be alone. Not lonely, but I had to be alone. And a lot of women aren't ready to do that because there's so much going on up in your mind when you get alone that you got to sift through. That's painful.
It is true, and we have to allow ourselves that. Now, I love what you said because I found myself in a very similar place a few months ago, just kind of frazzled and burned out, but not really burned out, but it was the only word that I could put to it. And I literally did the same thing. I'm like, what makes you happy? You know, like you do a little bit of it. And I took a hiatus from business books, from self-help books. I literally reordered an entire romance series that I had read like a decade ago, plowed through the whole series in like a week, got some audiobooks, and then I could get back into reading other things. And I also love what you said about the stillness because, again, I had to do the same thing. There were some things that came up for me earlier this year, you know. I had an interesting childhood, and just in honoring my commitment to do the work, there were some recovered memories that cropped up earlier this year for me, which was really difficult and really intense. And I had to sit with that because even though it happened so long ago, it felt like new information because there were gaps in my memory of those events. And I had to make peace with it all again. And I had to let myself be angry and tell myself it was okay to be angry because of what happened. And I had to let myself feel sad. And I had to let myself feel so many other things. And the more permission I gave myself to feel the way I feel, because feelings are neutral until we assign an action, the easier it became and the quicker I was able to move through that experience.
So what made this your purpose? What made you decide, you know what? I'm gonna help y'all through your self-betrayal. I'm gonna help you through your self-sabotage. I'm going to witness you and help you witness yourself so that you can get on the other side of this.
I have always had a heart for women. Like I said, I had an interesting childhood, and at some point I'll dive deeper into that. But I remember being very aware of the people who stopped to make time for me, the people who poured into me, the people who helped me make it through those difficult times. And even in junior high, because that's where it started, I had a very keen awareness of I need to pay this forward. I want to do for other women and other girls what was done for me. I want to let them know that they're not alone. I want to let them know that they're going to be okay. I want to let them know that they can live differently, that they don't have to be defined by these things. And one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in terms of emotional response and reactions is that oftentimes, what we think is wrong and bad is a normal reaction to an abnormal circumstance. There is no right way to respond to something that is abnormal, that should not have happened, that is wrong. And we are people with feelings, and we need to allow ourselves to fully have them, to fully express them in ways that are healthy, of course, but so many times we shut ourselves down before anybody else even gets a chance to.
But that comes from it happening, us being taught that, right? Like you think about
For sure.
excuse me, being little, your parents shutting you down, or your grandma shutting you down, or the neighbor, or they shutting you down at the church, like not being able to express your feelings, but also living in a society where Black women's feelings don't matter anyway.
That part, and I've been very intentional about not doing that to my children. My kids have said some things to me in settings that were very appropriate, therapy and such, that would have got probably got my teeth knocked down my throat.
Right, got you slapped into yesterday and
But it's like,
tomorrow.
that's how you feel. And my kids know if we're in a therapy session or something like that, as long as you're not using profanity, you have free rein. You want to tell me you hate me, you don't like me, this, that, and it. Cool. Because that's how you feel. And sometimes we don't want to dress our feelings up. Sometimes we want to say them right how we feel them. I'm 39 years old, and I still sometimes have feelings where it's like, no, I need to talk to my best friend, or I need to talk to somebody. I need to go grab my, Michael, my husband, because I don't want to dress this up. I want to be able to talk to somebody right now and say, hey, this is fucked up. Hey, I want to punch this person in their face because of what they did. Not, you really hurt my feelings, and this situation, I'm exceeding my window of tolerance. No, I want to punch you in your face right now.
I want your face to connect with my fist right now.
And we, like that just needs to be honored. And healing is a journey. Healing is an evolutionary process. It has looked different at every stage of my life. The things that I'm encountering now, if I'd have gone through them 5, 10 years ago, probably would have taken me out, because I didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't know how to maintain. I didn't have the same degree of self-regulation. I didn't have the same level of insight that I have into myself. I recently, going back to therapy, was diagnosed with an attachment disorder, which was not surprising. And it made so many things make sense in my marriage that I was like, wow, I owe my husband a huge apology. Huge.
Oh, I can respect that. Like that's big to be able to recognize your fault. Again, it's that, oh, I think it might be me kind of revelation.
And that's exactly what it was, because there was something that we encountered, and you and I have spoken privately, and we're still in the rebuilding stage. But something happened recently, and I was like, why are we here again? Like, literally nothing happened. Like, this man did nothing to me. Like, nothing changed. Why do I feel this way? And I was like, you know what, Jess? Maybe it's you. I don't know how, but like I said about that mountain, maybe, just maybe, it's you. Maybe it's not the relationship. Maybe it's not this. So I had some conversations with my therapist, and I was real honest. And because of those conversations and what resulted, I got the diagnosis, and I was like, oh my God, that puts so many of my relationships, especially the romantic ones, going back to like junior high, in such perspective. Why I would like somebody and they like me back, but as soon as I know you like me, I'm disinterested, and I'm like, do I even want this anymore? And I would see that playing out in my marriage. And it was like really a vicious cycle. I would get to a point where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm done. And it's like, but again, nothing happened, nothing. So when it came back around, I'm like, no. I need to investigate this, because this is happening again. I don't know why. And this has to be disrupted, and it has to be dismantled. And now that I know that this is what's been going on and contributing to this behavior, even if I'm not aware of what the triggers are, I'm aware of what happens in the aftermath. So I need to be a little more intentional about remaining connected to my husband from my side, because even if I don't know exactly what it is, something occurred to make me feel disconnected because of this attachment disorder. And when I feel disconnected, I get very weird. Very weird.
Do you think it's possible to not self-sabotage, or is it something that just happens? We just become more aware and we are able to change our behavior or our response to it.
I think it's definitely possible, but just like we learned how to do it, we have to learn how not to do it. And I definitely think in the beginning stages, it may be more realizing, oh, I just did that. But as we become more aware of those instances, we can start paying more attention to the circumstances around them. Okay, I did this thing, but what was going on? what was happening at the time that I responded this way. So then from there, we learn, okay, under these conditions and circumstances, this is my response. So we can then start learning how to show up differently in those situations. And there have been plenty of times where myself and, you know, other women that I know who are on this journey have seen a trigger, have seen a red light flashing, and it's like, okay, let me step back because I see this. And now, because I've healed enough to be able to see this, I can choose how I'm going to respond, how I'm going to engage. I don't just have to react. I don't have to default to what has been my standard for so long. I can do something new here.
Okay. So for someone that's listening and they're like, okay, y'all, I got it. I am self-sabotaging. I can see in the areas of my life this year where I have cut myself off at my foot. I didn't put my best foot forward, or like I was scared for some reason and I stopped myself. Going into this new year, how can they, one, forgive themselves, and two, go into the new year anew with like a newer energy to try again?
When it comes to self-forgiveness, I'm definitely big on writing letters to myself. So I can see in black and white, hey self, I forgive you for this. And really just kind of exploring that whole thing between me and diary me. In terms of moving forward, I believe, teach, in order to really get to the bottom of certain things, you have to expose the roots. Because if you leave those things unrooted, you're only going to be able to gain so much traction before you end up right back where you started. And I think that's the thing that keeps us most discouraged, which is why I advocate so hard for disrupting and dismantling, because there are a lot of things that we hold on to that are not ours by right of experience. And they need to be either discarded outright or reworked in a way that fits who we are now. So I think that's where the real change and transformation lies in a sustained way, is getting to the bottom of what's causing the behavior to begin with. I don't personally see or believe that there's any other way around that.
I like that. I like this conversation. I think it's going to open up a lot of like, aha, like, you know, what, like we were talking about, I think it was me, you know, looking at all the situations, and it's like, I definitely think it was me. So what do you have coming up for someone that's like, okay, I want to work with someone that specifically focuses on the self-betrayal and how I can get through that journey?
I do have my signature program, which is Pain to Purpose University. There are currently two tracks. There's a 9-month cohort and there's a 12-month cohort. I refer to them as the immersive and the intensive. And I'm also dropping a Black Friday deal. It's a 90-day accelerator for Pain to Purpose University. And yeah, the foundational pillars are the same. You know, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but those would be the options to work with me. And one of the things I feel sets me apart from other coaches is, while I'm not a therapist, the work that I'm setting out to do is really deep, because I don't want people to leave the same. And it's like, if you're committed to completion, I promise you these things will actually happen for you. I'm not just trying to steal your money. I'm not trying to fleece you.
you just want my money.
These are the things that you have to do. You know, you have to unpack these things. You have to confront these things. You have to reframe these things. They're all just part of the journey. And however you get through it, you're going to realize that these are the steps you took to get there, whether it was done with me, on your own, with another coach or whomever. You can't skip those steps and get the result you want. I will say this as a tie-in to everything that we've discussed and what you said specifically about how will they know. Active listening. That is my answer. Active listening. And I say that to say this. Sometimes we have to decipher what is actually being said to us. When I was running Helter Skelter, I used to get a lot of, "You're never here." And in my mind, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm always here. What was actually being said to me by my family, friends, and other loved ones was, "You are not present. You are here, but you are not accessible to me in the way I would like you to be and in the way in which I need you to be." All I was hearing was, "You're not here," which made me defensive because, again, that wasn't true. So I think we need to be listening more intently in the conversations that we're having so we can hear what the person who is speaking is actually trying to communicate with us.
So good. That conversation was so good, talking about self-sabotage, self-betrayal. And if you're an OG and you've listened to my past episodes, you've heard me talk more than once about all these external factors that we take in, whether it's stories from our parents, from the church, from society, from the things that we consume, and we assume that we are making decisions of us, and we're not. It's from the noise. It's from all the noise. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I have all of Jessica's information in the show notes. Definitely reach out. Let her know that you heard her here, and that's what brought you over. And really sit. I'm going to drop a Q&A if you are on Spotify. If you are listening to me from any other platform, feel free to email me at hello@chantelandco.com, which is in the show notes. And let's have a conversation about where you feel like you sabotaged yourself this year with no judgment, okay? With no judgment, just acknowledging and trying to figure out why and where that came from. And let's do something different in the new year, okay? I love you so very much. Make sure to share this with someone that you feel like needs to hear it. Please rate so that we can continue to go far and wide so that those that need to hear this can. And remember that you are a part of an amazing, amazing community, okay? And I thank you for being a part of this. Until next time, remember to prioritize your pleasure because you are deserving. Bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.